haven't given their life to Jesus Christ. This is, we're still in the new year. This is only the 10th day. And the man that I know, the man that I know is still standing, still knocking, bidding you to come. You know who that man is? Oh, that's him.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Lost I was,
all right,
but now I'm saved.
Yeah,
bound I was, but there are no more chains. Washed in the blood of the crucified Lamb, I am all that God said I am. I am all that God said I am. Once was a sinner,
yeah, all right,
but I'm saved.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Bound I was, but there's no more chains. Washed in the blood of the crucified Lamb.
Right.
I am all that God said I am. I am all that God said I am. Oh, I am
all that
God
said I am.
I'm saved and sanctified, redeemed. I've been washed clean. All that
God said I am. All that God said I am.
All
that God said I am.
Yeah.
I was broken, but now I'm mended. I was put out, but I've been apprehended. Washed in the blood of the crucified Lamb. I am all that God said. He said I am. I am all that God said I am. One more time. I was broken, but now I'm mended. I was put out, but he apprehended me. Washed in the blood of the crucified Lamb. I am all that God said I am. God said, He said I am. Oh, I am.
All that.
All that. Oh, I'm saved and I'm sanctified. Been redeemed and He washed me clean. All that.
To fit in with the times? Does it mean, Brother Jackson, that we need a new Bible? Does it mean that we need to scrap our hymnals in favor of praise choruses? Does it mean that we need to replace preaching with worship dramas? Does it mean that we must lower our standards to accommodate the world? Does it mean that we need to be more seeker-friendly so that we can attract big crowds? Well, my brothers and sisters, the answer to all above is no. But what does it mean? What it does mean is that we need to look at how and where God is working today and be thankful for the opportunities He's given to us in these days. Well, you see, we can become trapped in the past and totally miss what God is doing today. Or we can get so caught up in all the modern trends and methods that we fail to realize that God does not change. As the Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. meaning God never changes. My brothers and sisters, what God was doing in our great-grandfather day, he's still doing it today. And how God saved souls then is still how he saved them today. Yes, society has changed. The church has changed. The world has changed. But God cannot and will not change. God said, according to Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Well, somebody may be thinking, I hear you, Pastor, but what is the problem with the young people shouting and the old men weeping? Well, I'm glad you asked, because here was the problem with both viewpoints. And that is, they both squandered the opportunities God gave them, because all they did was lay the foundation for the temple, and the work stopped. Uh-huh. And for 15 years, the house of the Lord stayed unfinished, according to Haggai, because during that time, God raised the prophet Haggai to speak to the people. We note that Haggai chapter 1, 3 through 5 say, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourself to dwell in your panel houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus said the Lord, consider your ways. In other words, all those who were looking back fondly failed to move forward in the things of God. And all those who had been so excited about what God was doing in their day also failed to carry out to completion the rebuilding of the temple. And in the same way, we can sit here looking back to the past, longing for the good old days, dreaming of the way things used to be, and get absolutely nothing done for the glory of God today. Also, we can, can become all caught up in the latest movies, books, and trends, and fail to do anything for the Lord. And so either one is a shame, a waste of time, and either one misses the whole point of our existence. Are you here? My brothers and sisters, we're not here to look back, nor are we here to jump on the latest bandwagon, but we're here to join God in what he is doing in these days for his glory. Now, what they should have done, both old and the young, was put their backs to the work at hand and finish rebuilding the temple and get about the business of serving the Lord. But instead, Reverend Coleman, they were all sidetracked by their own agendas. Note the prophet Haggai told both the old and the young that they needed to consider their ways. Note he goes on to say in Haggai chapter 1, 6 through 9, he say, you have sown much and bring in little. He say, you eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. You earn wages, and you earn wages you earn, you put them in bags with holes in them. God said, consider your ways. He said, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, said the Lord. You look for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, said the Lord of hosts, because my house is in ruins, while everyone runs to his own house. And so they laid the foundation for the temple, but the work was halted. And for 15 years, yes, they went about their lives. They built their own houses and did what they wanted to do. In other words, all old men who look back fondly, they failed to move forward in the things of God. All the young men who were so excited about what God was doing in their day, they failed to carry out the completion of the rebuilding of the temple. Yet, when they finished laying the foundation, the young men shouted, and the old men wept as they looked back. But that's all they did. Because the work on God's house was left undone while they build their own houses. My brothers and sisters, God help us to do what we have been called to do here at Mount Olive Church today. because we can't go back to the old days and live then, nor should we embrace everything that's being promoted in this modern age. But here's what we can do. We can bow before the Lord, commit our lives to him, ask him to show us what he wants us to do, and get busy doing the will of God while we still have time to do so. I hear Jesus declaring in John 9:4, he said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day, because the night is coming when no one can work. But how many times do you see folks spend their tithes and offering that is used to be for the upkeep of the house of the Lord, and they selfishly spend it on themselves? Many times folk will walk up to the offering table with $300, $400, and $500 worth of clothes on and put $1 in the offering plate. And then they want to complain about why the church is falling down, why the church doesn't have money. And then many wonder why things are not working out for them. The more you make, the less you have. Well, the prophet Haggai says, because of your selfishness, you're putting your money in bags with holes in it. And yes, Lord. And so the old man wept because of the ghosts of the past, while the young men shouted for joy because of the gifts of the present. But finally, in your spare time, I told you to read Haggai 2:1-9, and you will see the glory of his promise. As I said, after 15 years, the work on the temple still had not been completed. So God raised up the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the priest to the people. Now, this was a difficult time for both the old people and the young people. Remember, the old people were sad because things were not like they used to be. The young people were discouraged by the attitude of the old folk. And so here in the midst of this turmoil, God uses the message of Haggai to bring hope and encouragement to all the people of Israel. And his message still gives hope to us today as well, because we live in a day when many are discouraged and wonder about the relevance of the church in this modern world, while others wonder what the future of the house of God holds. Well, I think Haggai has some words of comfort for all our hearts this morning. But note, if you will, in Haggai 2:4, it reveals the promise of his presence. Note, God says, this temple may not be as great as the first one, but I'm still here with you. We have the same promise this morning, and things may not be like they used to be, but the same God who moved in, he's still with his people today, because Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Haggai 2:5-9, we find the promise of his presence. God say, my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. I'll give you peace, said the Lord of hosts. And I thank God this morning that in the midst of our trials, our afflictions, and in the midst of our labor and activities, in the midst of our feeble attempts to serve the Lord of glory, we have his presence and his peace to sustain us. For the Bible says in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Then Haggai 2:6 is the promise of his power. Now here God reminds them that he's still in control, regardless of how things may look. Praise God this morning that this same thing is true today. Yes, it looked like the evil in this world is out of control. It looked like Satan and his will, he's having doing all he want to do in our day. But I just remind us this morning that the God we serve, he's still on the throne. And yes, it may seem as if evil is out of control, but in his time, God will demonstrate his power and his sovereignty over sin, Satan, and the world. And so as I try to move to the close, in Haggai 2:8, we have the promise of his provisions. Now, some were concerned that the new temple lacked the gold and the glitz of the old temple. But God reminded them that he has all they need. And my brothers and sisters, he still does. For the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so don't you despair that the mega churches with their contemporary music, fleshly worship, and lack of doctrine seem to be flourishing. I need to tell you that God has not forsaken us. He knows what we need in these days, and he will protect us and provide all that we need in his own time and in his own way. And so in closing, and in Haggai 2:7-9, it tells of a day when the desires of all nations will come. They tell of a day when the glory of this latter house will be greater than the former. In other words, he's referring to the coming of Jesus. Because years later, this new temple was remodeled by Herod. And into that newly remodeled temple walked Jesus Christ himself. The Lord came to the temple and fulfilled the word of Haggai. Yes, he came to Solomon's temple in a cloud of glory. But Jesus walked into this temple in the flesh. But what is this saying to us this morning? Well, we can look back with envy on the days when God moved in great revival of yesterday. And we can long for the good old days. But the fact remains that we have a privilege that our great-grandfather did not enjoy. Because you see, Jesus didn't come back for his church then, but he just might come back in our day. And so as bad as things may look to us from time to time, let us remember that the God we serve is still in control of all the things, no matter how bad things may look. Because one Friday, after hanging on an old rugged cross from the sixth to the ninth hour, Jesus died that we might live. And it looked like Satan and the enemy had won while Jesus laid in that grave for 3 days and 3 nights. But bright early Sunday morning, he got up from that grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand, defeating Satan, death, hell, and the grave. And after showing himself alive for some 40 days, he caught a cloud and he went back to glory. Now he's seated on the right hand of the throne of God. But he promised he's coming back for his church. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all be dead, but we shall be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. Then he told the Thessalonica church that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those of us who belong to the Lord will be caught up to meet him in the air. Ain't God all right? You can live your life looking back. You can see the opportunities that God's given us today. to do the work and watch him move in his power. And that day, the young men shouted while the old men wept. In our day, may we all recognize the fact that God is looking for people who will seize the opportunity of the day for his glory, because we can't go back to yesterday, nor can we embrace everything done in the name of religion, but we can seize the opportunities that's been given to us today. We can seize the opportunities to serve the Lord with joy and gladness in our hearts. And so let me ask you this morning, do you know him in the pardon of your sins? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he pick you up when you fall down? Won't he save your soul to the utmost? Ain't God all right? I know he's all right, because one day I came to the Lord just as I was. I was weary, wounded, and sad, but I found in him a resting place. And oh, he has made me glad. Ain't God all right? Do you know him? Don't fool me now. If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yes. Say yes. Yes, he's all right. Yes. He's all right. The young men shouted for joy while the old men wept as they remembered the past. The past is past. What happened has already happened. Let's seize all the opportunities that God has given us today. Put God first in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you. We don't have to be trapped in the past. God is with us right now. Just like he was with our grandfathers and fathers a long time ago, he's right here with us now. Yes, trouble is everywhere. We're in a climate now where they're sending bombs to the opponents.
Yes, yes.
In a time now where a fool went down and shot up a synagogue.
Come on.
We're in some evil times, and it just looked like, it seemed like the devil has the upper hand. It seems like evil is out of control, but I stop by to tell you, God, nothing can happen unless God allows it. God is still in control. Why he said, acknowledge him in all your ways.
Yes.
Trust in the Lord and acknowledge him in all your ways. Lean not to your own understanding. I'm trying to hurt. And he will. Yes, Lord. Direct. Yes, our path. Our path. At this time, we extend the invitation. Perhaps there's somebody who would like to get on board. You may come as a candidate for baptism. You may come through Christian experience. Do we have one this morning? Just like God saved the old folk, he's saving us the same way today. And I tell you, Jesus is closer to coming back now than he was a long time ago.
Amen.
And it would be bad for you if you didn't have your business straight when he makes his return, because he's not coming back to save folk. He did that the first time when he came to seek and to save the lost, and they died to open up a way to salvation. But when he comes back, he's coming back for his church. He's coming back for those who are already saved. Now you can be in the building and still not in the church. Because the only way you can get into the body of Christ, you got to be born again. And the only way you can be born again, you got to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. He, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will quicken your spiritually dead body and make you spiritually alive to God. And guess what else? He'll seal you to the day of redemption. You don't have to worry about your salvation leaking out, because once God saved you, he saved you forever. We got an example of that with Noah, amen, during the flood. When the rains came, Noah didn't close the gate, didn't close the door, but God closed the door and sealed him in. And that's why no matter how much water fell, they didn't even spring a leak.